Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope the afternoon is treating you good. Your host, James, here. Solo show today, but I am not alone. I got all of you out there to join me. Call up with your sports thoughts, feelings, takes. We want them all. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with you this afternoon, everybody. We're going to have some fun today. We want to send a gigantic shout-out not only to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring this hour. We greatly appreciate them. But our head producer around here, Seth Habhager, who I throw things at him all the time. You cannot imagine. If you even listen to me a little bit on the air, you imagine what it's like when I have an idea and I'm trying to get you to be able to see what's in my weird brain. Seth somehow figures it out, and we go forward with it. We got a great new commercial for Playmakers coming out, and thought we'd change things up a little bit. Some new intro music for you as well. We're having some fun with some of that stuff, and love your feedback. Appreciate all you out there. We're going to get into the Four Nations face-off. Not Seven Nation Army, but Four Nation Army, as we are kind of the NHL All-Star break is different and better than it's ever been before. We'll get into that, and we'll also touch a little bit on the NBA All-Star break, which is the exact opposite of the NHL All-Star break. All of that, and as long as we're going to talk basketball, we got to talk Wisconsin Badgers basketball as well. Big weekend for your Badgers men's team. Great work by them. And speaking of basketball, let's kick off right here, local as it gets, because that's what we do around here, local. The brackets for the upcoming WIAA State Girls Basketball Playoffs were released on Sunday. Play begins with regional quarterfinals across five divisions Tuesday, February 25th. Regional semifinals will be played Friday, February 28th, and the regional finals will be on March 1st. This reporting from our own Randy Paul. The girls' brackets were released, and Rapids will be at Hortonville. Assumption gets a bye. Port at Pacelli, Nacusa at Whitehall, and Elko at Pittsville. Those are our local teams. That is what we're looking at right now. I feel confident. I don't want to put this on him, but I feel confident that Michael and I on Wednesday will get a little bit more into this, a little more detailed. But I don't know. Looking at the brackets and from what I can tell, and I am nowhere near have the brain that Randy or Michael do for this sport and understanding local high school basketball the way those two do. I like the way this is matching up for all of our local teams, to be honest. And especially when you see a buy for Assumption, you can feel good about that. You don't have to know much about basketball to know that that's a good thing. Wausau going to be in action as well, so shout out to our Wausau teams. Number 13, Wausau West is the number 13 seed. They'll be taking on Hudson, number 4 seed, on February 28th. And the 11th seed, Wausau East, will be open in Division 2 regional quarterfinals at number 6, Medford. For those that aren't in high school or maybe far removed from it, is there anything about saying all this that just makes you nostalgic for just, you know, high school sports? I miss, I get to, you know, cover it and stuff, so I don't have to miss it too much. But I do miss kind of the actual feeling of game day and walking through the halls, or some of that vibe that could be there in school when you knew these games were coming up and it was this time of year. There's a lot of good games coming up, and it's fun. And there is no losing in high school sports. Every one of these teams deserve our support, and these kids deserve our support. But, you know, I think we forget how crazy it is in high school. And when you're – it's already crazy, just in general, let alone when you're doing after-school activities and that. You're taking time – what little bit of time you have, what little bit of freedom you have, you're taking away from it and putting it into training and into rehearsals, to practices, all that. So I admire it. I appreciate all of them as much as I appreciate all of our refs, our coaches, and everybody else out there. We're going to have a good tournament, and I don't know. I like how the way they are playing right now. I can't say it, but I feel it. It feels great. They're playing well. It's going to be a lot of fun. What are you looking forward to in the tournament? How do you feel about the tournament? I'd love to hear from you about that. 715-424-2600. Stick with basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers over the weekend, victorious over the Purdue Boilermakers, 94-84. And in a game that, while it was close, obviously, in the first half, you know, it was 37-36 in the first half, going into halftime, Wisconsin had a couple of moments there where, I feel like not just Wisconsin teams of years past, guard teams of years past, but just in college basketball, we see it all the time. I think we focus on Wisconsin because of where we are. But I see this happen to Syracuse. I've seen it happen to Wake Forest. I've seen it happen to all kinds of good teams over in my lifetime. You get a lead and maybe you miss a shot, an open shot or a shot you should make. And then there's a turnover. And then there's one other thing. And before you know it, they're like two, four points away. That could have happened. Wisconsin didn't let it. Wisconsin, anytime Purdue tried to build something, Wisconsin just came charging right back and stomping it down, which is not only Big Ten play at its best and good basketball in general, but that's tournament play. This team is, they go out in the first round, something like that, I'll eat my words. I've owned everything on the air that I've gotten wrong, which is a lot. We should probably dedicate a whole hour just for me, but I ain't wrong about this. That you go ahead and you watch, you look at the champions of the NCAA March Madness, you look at the teams that have done well, and they are teams that play this style of basketball, and they play well at this level. John Tanjay is more and more building his lore at Wisconsin in a short amount of time that he'll probably be in Madison. That's a fun team, too. I don't think anybody around in this state is going to say a one bad thing, and nor should they, about Coach Ryan and his style of play. Obviously productive, got that team to Final Fours, in the tournament every year, just a consistent Big Ten force. This is, I feel like, I don't even know how much this is Greg Gard's style of basketball as much as it is him. There seems like there was a turning point for him, where it was, okay, my way, and you know what? This kid's good at this, so I'm going to do my thing, but I'm going to incorporate what he does well and highlight it. And I feel like the more you do that in sports, especially in the high school or college levels, not only the better your team is and the better the chemistry on your team can be, it's also the best recruiting tool you have. And we will work with you. Nobody in the country can highlight your skill set better than I can. That's recruiting. That's what every recruit in football is doing right this second, and including Coach Bill Belichick, which is crazy to think of. It's what it's built on, your recruiting. Greg Gard seems to be a great recruiter, and certainly seems him and his coaching staff seem to be doing that. Tanjay was 22, scored 22 of his 32 points in the second half, by the way, too. So that is one of our stats of the show today, 22 out of those 32 in the second half. That's a kid who came to play. That's a kid who is making the most of his moment. And with that, the AP Men's College Basketball Poll kicked out its new top 25. And Auburn's still at number one, rightfully so, beating Alabama over the weekend. I don't know. I know that he's had some stuff off the court, okay? So I know he is not a saint by any means. But there is something about Bruce Pearl I like. I enjoy. When he was coaching at Tennessee, he came out and did a big thing for the women's team. And this is long before, women's sports were being supported as much as they are now. And I really admired that about him. I like his, he feels like whether you like him or not, he is the real deal. He is going to give you exactly who he is. And wherever he goes, they win. It's proven. He's another one of these college basketball coaches, much like Patino over in St. John's or Calipari in Arkansas for this year, wherever he ends up next. Because he ain't staying in Arkansas long. I will eat my words on that one, but I don't believe he'll be in Arkansas for very long. These guys, it's funny too. We're seeing left and right college football coaches leaving the game and then whining about what the game has become, quote unquote, become, when really it hasn't changed that much. It's just players have a little more power now, a little power compared to the gigantic amount of power that these coaches and these universities have. But basketball, we're not seeing this really in basketball. You're not hearing a bunch of left and right college basketball coaches quitting because of NIL or transfer portal or anything. I'm not saying it's not happening at all, but not like you're seeing in football. These coaches are doing this crazy thing called adapting. Because I feel like you find out, do they love the sport or do they love power? What is it that brings them to this game? Do they love winning? Do they love losing? Because you got to love both. If you're a true coach, you got to be okay with both because you are not going to win every game. So you love the losses. You can make something out of that. You can motivate people from that. As much as you love the winning. Maybe not as much. But you love the winning and losing as much. You love them both. Auburn at number one. Florida at number two in the newest AP poll. Duke Blue Devils at three. Alabama didn't fall far, nor should they. They went to number four. Houston at five. Tennessee at six. Texas A&M at number seven. Iowa State Cyclones at number eight. Watch out for them. Texas Tech Red Raiders at number nine. And the St. John's Red Storm at 10. There is a little bit of a patino there for me. I mean, you talk about off-the-court issues. Yeah, there are books and TV movies that can be made about patino when it comes to that. I'm just talking about him as a coach. I've always enjoyed him as a coach. And I am a Big East fan. I like a lot of the old. I grew up on a lot of Big East basketball, and so it was all that was on TV. They hardly play Big Ten basketball back then on TV, at least where I was. And I watched a lot of Big East. I like St. John's. I like seeing them doing well, them being relevant again. And I brought up all. I'm doing the whole top 10 so I can get to number 11. Your Wisconsin Badgers, previously ranked 16th, 20-5 on the season, and moving on up. Call them the Jeffersons. They are moving up. There's going to be a lot of games to be played yet. We have not even gotten into conference play yet, conference championship play. But there is so much to be excited about this team. And they are playing their best basketball right now. They're not even peaking yet. They're just getting there. If you were trying to time this out, you were timing it out perfectly as a team. It's going to be fun. Again, always like to know what you think about it. Did you get a chance to listen to the game here at WFHR? Because we, of course, got all Badger football, hockey, basketball. They're all here. We got you covered. Let's stick with basketball for a minute because I want to wrap up the segment on a positive. The NBA All-Star Game. Show of hands, how many people watched the NBA All-Star Game? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I understand it's an audio medium. I can't see you. I don't need to for this one. I know people that did not even know it was going on. And I wouldn't say that they're diehard basketball people, but they're people like a lot of us out there. As soon as the second the Super Bowl ends, they are shifting gears into basketball. And couldn't have told you a single thing about the weekend, what was going on with the weekend. There's no consistency with the NBA All-Star Weekend anymore. And while there were some really, really cool moments, I believe you heard Mike Clemens talking about some of them. Shout out to Mike and the great coverage he does. He was certainly talking about it with us in our chats. There were some really cool moments. And I feel like nobody saw them. I'm looking forward to seeing what the ratings are here. And that's going to be a little skewed. It always is, especially will be in part because of just the streaming and how that goes. But there was a really cool moment. First off, shout out to Damian Lillard. Yes, my favorite player, but also, one of the better character guys in all of sports. One of those guys that you want to go to battle with. One of those guys that you know is not going to, he's not going to leave you behind. And a shout out to him for losing. Yes, for losing. It's the only time I'll probably ever say this. But a fan beat Dame to win $100,000 in the Mr. Beast logo shot challenge. I have no idea some of the words I just said, I'll be honest with you. But I know it was a really cool moment, and I looked it up right away. It was fun. That was a cool moment. And there were some other, moments there with the skills challenges and everything that I think some people enjoyed and certainly made the rounds on social media. But it's getting to the point where not only do the fans, with the fans' disengagement, the players have started to be disengaged too. And you're certainly got guys out there that are playing hard. I'm not going to say that every single player doesn't care. I don't think some of these guys can help themselves. But there's definitely been a drop-off. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. But I will say everything starts with leadership and at the top. And so Adam Silver and the powers that be, the board of directors, the NBA owners, they all deserve first shots at this. But you also, as a player, have a responsibility, I think. You're getting to play a kid's game for a living. And yes, it's an exhibition. It's an exhibition like no other exhibition ever. It's the All-Star game. And it's an opportunity for people to see you that may never get to or only get to see you once in a while. It's a chance that if you are good at business, and I mean your business is sports, you're networking, you're recruiting without recruiting. You can recruit without recruiting. You don't have to say, hey, come to Milwaukee. You can brag about Milwaukee. You can talk about Milwaukee. There's plenty of ways of doing this. And there's plenty of reason to take it as an honor that you were voted an All-Star, no matter what the sport. And not only the guys not trying hard or really putting an effort in, but then the NBA doing these ideas that they have, like, let's do this, and let's have three games inside of one, and let's make double points. And I don't know if they, like the marketing team was just watching a bunch of old MTV basketball when they used to do their celebrity All-Star thing or whatever. Yeah, I had like 3-point shots that were worth 18 or whatever. I don't remember. They had like 2 baskets. Like that's right where they are. It's a very thin line between pandering and downright silly and something that you would see in a minor league do and creative evolution, different making. I do not want to give Rahm Manfred any credit. Any chance, I'll avoid it like the plague. But you got to give baseball a shout out. Because whether you were a positive or negative about the changes, I think by now with some good data, it's hard to argue with this was the right way to do this for baseball. Eliminating the shift is the first thing I'm thinking of. Certainly the pitch clock. There's a lot of things that where the ratings and the marketing, the advertisers, I mean, that have come back to baseball and fans. They've overwhelmingly said they like these changes. And then there's the NHL All-Star Weekend, where for the first time, and maybe the only time they do this, it's the four nations facing off. You have Sweden, Finland, Canada, and USA. And it has been the most exciting All-Star I've ever seen. And you're talking to somebody who used to eat, sleep, and breathe any All-Star game I could take. I loved as a kid the baseball All-Star Week. It was the best. The it was my favorite by far and away. I love hockey and basketball and football and everything, but man, the All-Star game in baseball used to be must-see television to me. And in some ways, it still is to a degree, but, it's lost a little bit. But right next to it was the NBA All-Star Weekend. And I didn't watch a second of it this weekend. I didn't have time, to be honest with you. I also didn't know where I could catch half of it. And by the time my class was over, and we actually got done early, I was like, I'm beat. I'm beat, I'll be honest. I'm all peopled out. Even people on TV, I don't really want to deal with. It's just not, I don't feel like they, I don't know how they could have done this worse, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying, this is an opinion. This isn't a right or wrong thing. It's an opinion. So I'd love to hear what you think. And even if you just want to call up and tell me that you didn't even watch it, that's fine too, because that's data. But I do want to, before we wrap up the segment, focus on a positive, and that is, I think, the NHL All-Star Weekend that is still going on. Today, in conference play, if you will, Canada beat Finland 5-3. And this sets up something pretty amazing. Now, let me rewind for a second to Saturday night, and USA and Canada facing off. And only for a second or two, because within 9 seconds... there were three fights. And it feels so good to say that. I'm not a type of person that, you know, hates the evolution of hockey. And, oh, they got rid of the goons. It's not what it used to be. I think there's some positives to it. But I am not a perfect human being. And I do like a good fight every once in a while, especially between rivals, whether it's two players or it's two teams. If this was the Detroit Red Wings and the Chicago Blackhawks, you better believe that I'd be starting a show with it probably. Oh, the Blackhawks did this, or something like that. So I'm in favor of it, especially if it means you're going to win the game. Because you got to go out there and win the game then. You have to. I don't care what else happens in that game. I don't care if they're up 10 goals going into the third period. You better win it. You cannot start a game that way and not win it. And the USA did. We beat Canada. We'll take it every chance we get. Every chance we get. There are no minor victories against Canada in hockey. None. And this sets up with Canada winning today. Canada and US facing off for something. I don't know if they're giving away a trophy. I don't know what they're calling this necessarily. I just keep seeing it called the Four Nations Face-Off. So is it the Four Nations title? Are you the world champion? I want to know. And I want them to keep doing this. And I certainly, I would like to think every person out there really wants the Ukrainian and Russian war to end for all the obvious humanitarian reasons. But my hockey brain really wants it to end so that we could have Russia in this tournament, because as great as this tournament is, it's missing Alex Ovechkin. It's missing so many of the great Russian players. And that just ain't right to me. I understand why they're not in the tournament. I'm not against those. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I honestly don't really have an opinion on it. I feel like it's an opinion thing, and I don't really have one on it. But I do think it's unjust, it's not right, that these players have to suffer for it, just like in the Olympics. Regardless of how their political beliefs feel or whether they, quote, voted for Putin or not, they're athletes. And they deserve a chance to be in this tournament like anybody else. And it's as good as it feels to have USA here, and we could end up being winning this whole thing. It just doesn't feel as strong without Russia in the tournament. That's one of the greatest hockey countries in the world of all time. Be that as it may, keep on moving. And it should be exciting. The final game will be on Thursday. U.S. and Canada will be facing off, I believe, on the Mouse Network. Shout out to ESPN, though, I will say, for taking on the NHL and what has happened with that, because the ratings and the amount of people watching these games has skyrocketed. And that's been cool to see, I think. Because I think it's a cool game. And it's a lot cooler when the USA is doing well. And they are, baby. Oh, it's been fun. It is a fun tournament. I really hope they do the smart thing here and keep doing this. Maybe adding more teams, that's fine. Trying to find a way to shorten it up even, because this is a lot of miles on these players. But as it is, either to me, talking about All-Star Games, talking about the NBA All-Star Weekend, the NHL All-Star Week, whatever you want to say. I feel like the overall overwhelming answer is either go all in or don't even do it. I mean, football is pretty much just a skills tournament now, and everybody gets bonuses if you get in there, and it gets announced on NHL, NFL Network and stuff. It isn't what it used to be, certainly. And I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that. I miss the old All-Star game, but it's not a hill I'm going to die on. It's not something I'm going to get bent out of shape about. What I appreciate is just owning it and being like, you know what? These guys don't want to go out there and get hurt. Or these guys do this, at full speed and they don't know how to do it soft. Whatever the case. I will respect that much more than whatever the NBA is doing. And certainly what they might do going forward, because I feel like that this isn't going to stop. So many people in power, whether we're talking sports or anything else, live in these bubbles. And they are surrounded by yes men. And this is how you get these kind of things. It's not that hard to listen to the people. It's not that hard to reach out to the people. And man, I really wish they would, because I miss the dunk contest. I miss some of these things. I didn't know who won the dunk contest till Sunday morning. That's never happened to me in my life. We'll see. We'll take a look at our schedule. We'll get into some River Kings talk a little Packers maybe too. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. This is your show. I'm just pushing the buttons over here and talking to fill some time. I mean, it's your show, everybody. Call up and join the conversation. We're looking forward to talking with you. We'll be back with more Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks for joining us. James here with you. We got another half an hour left to play. Let's have some fun. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Looking forward to hanging out with you and talking with you. All your sports takes and feelings. You do not want to let those fester. You want to get those out of your system. Get them out right here. 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Get into our schedule for the week and some other information for you in a little bit. And we're going to talk River Kings in a moment. Before we do, though, I just got a message from our great friend Aaron Wells over at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Due to the extreme cold tomorrow, the ADRCCW will be closing the Meals on Wheels and Senior Dining. Both will be closed tomorrow because of the weather. So got a little bit more of a heads up on this one. You happen to have any neighbors, you know of anybody out there that uses these services, please reach out to them, check in on them, see how they're doing. Appreciate you doing that. Look out for each other out there. And it's cold. It's just cold. There's nothing, no getting around it. And a big thank you to our friends at the ADRCCW. Our River Kings are going strong, everybody. The playoffs have not started yet, but they have for that team. I don't think that they are even looking at the calendar, really, because it's go time. They're playing like it. River Kings playing their tails off, and with reason. The Minnesota Squatch are in first place in the Northwest Division. They have 72 points. Your Kings have 68. Squatch do have an extra game on the Kings right now in the standings, but be it as it may, it does, you know, season ends today. We're in second place. It's not a bad place to be. It's you know, not bad at all. But certainly for this team, not where they want to be. Which is part of what we love about them. But looking at the weekend, if you did not hear, your Kings swept Asante over the weekend. A 10-2 victory. Boy, that's a heartfelt Valentine's Day. That's a nice Valentine's Day. 10-2 victory for the Kings. 68 shots on goal to 19. If that's a correct stat, that is a wild stat to see. And then on Saturday, Kings kept on doing their thing. A 14-1 victory over the Asante Outlaws. And again, it looks like the Kings' stats might be right. I'm not sure that Asante's is. But I will say that the River Kings had 91 shots on goal. I don't know if Patrick Waugh could stop, like, you know, how many of those he could stop. He's given up at least 5 or 6 goals in that game, right? Like, I don't care who's shooting. 91 shots. That's insane. That's incredible. This team is ready to go. And with that, the Kings are not only ready to go, but they got one more weekend of regular season hockey to play. And they get to play it in town. Yeah. Kings are going to be here right in Rapids. Follow your Kings this weekend, the 21st and 22nd. Be taking on the Dells Ducks, 7 o'clock puck drop on Friday and Saturday. Make it to the South Oak County Rec Center if you can. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. We got to get ready for the playoffs too. I mean, if the boys a winner already, us as fans, we got to get ready. You don't want your voice blowing out in the second period or something like that. I mean, how are the refs going to know that you're yelling at? No, I'm kidding. Well, we got to get into playoff mode too here, because in I think every sport it's a team by team or even a player by player basis. In hockey, at every single level, home ice matters. Doesn't guarantee you're going to win, but it matters, and especially at this level. We've had so many players on with us and talk to them, and so many of them talk. One of the first things they'll mention is the fans, the way the fans are here. When I came here to play, the way the fans are. It was one of the first things Coach Paul had to say when we first talked to him. You guys showing up, it matters. It means something. It's a high school type of atmosphere there, especially with the way that the seating is at the rec center. So you really do matter when it comes down there. And win or lose, showing your support to this team matters to these kids. You think about what these host families do, opening up their homes, whether it's the River Kings or the Rafters, what these families of these players must feel and go through, no matter how, confident they feel with their child going, overseas or, a couple states away, whatever it is. And that don't make it easy. Being away from home is not easy for most. All of those things, to pursue a dream, to chase winning, and to entertain. I admire that and appreciate it. Let's show them how much we appreciate it. Get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. Again, the Dallas Ducks coming to town this weekend, 21st, 22nd. Last regular season games of the season. The playoffs will begin on February 28th, go to March 2nd, I believe. The first round of the playoffs will. And it's going to be an exciting playoffs. We've got a really, with this and the WIA tournament going on for men's and for boys and girls basketball, that's exciting. Got a lot of fun playoff stuff to keep us warm through the winter and hopefully get us through these winter months a little bit. Since we're talking Kings, let's go ahead and take a look at our schedule. Tomorrow at 6:30, Wisconsin men's basketball, hosting Illinois, the Fighting Illini. As you've probably heard in from Talking Heads and anybody that really is talking Badgers Illini basketball, Illinois, even when they haven't had necessarily great teams, have been able to kind of have Wisconsin's number a little bit here and there. So this isn't certainly a take-light game. There are no more take-light games really going forward for any of these college basketball teams, on the men's or women's side, really. And it should be a good one, especially how you bounce back after a big win, what it says about your team. And this is another thing where in tournament play, whether we're talking a Big Ten championship or we're talking about the big dance, you're coming off of all big victories. And sometimes there's a human element that lightens up after that, and you cannot do that. You have to go even harder. So see how they respond in a similar kind of atmosphere of coming out of that Purdue game and going against Illinois. Find out right here, 6:30 tomorrow. Wednesday, more playmakers from 5 to 6. At 7:05, we'll have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Been an up-and-down year for the Badgers, but I'd say a positive year overall, no matter what happens towards the end of the season here. Always good to hear from Coach. You'll be hearing from Greg Gard, another coach, on Thursday at 6:05. And then leading you up to that will be on WIRI, Assumption Girls Basketball hosting Stratford. Randy, Mike, going to be covering that one for you. We'll have either Seth or Laura on the board. Looking forward to it. Assumption Girls Basketball is just a different, I love all of our local teams, but the way they play, the way they coach over there, it's just different. And everyone is worth listening to. Every game is worth seeing. Have that for you Thursday, 7:05. Friday, One more Playmakers for you for the week. And we'll get you ready for the weekend and a hockey weekend. Because on WIRI at 7 o'clock, the puck will drop as the River Kings host the Dell Ducks Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock time. And then same thing for Wisconsin Badger hockey. Right here at WFHR on Friday night, 7 o'clock, the Wisconsin Badgers hockey team facing the dreaded Notre Dame. It's pronounced Notre Dame. I don't know why they pronounce it Notre Dame. I don't know why a team is called the Fighting Irish when Notre Dame Cathedral isn't in Ireland. I mean, there's a lot of things here, but it doesn't matter. Beat them. That's all that matters. Beat them. Beat them like they got beat in the national championship game. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. We will have those for you. If you're not going to call up, I'm just going to go ahead and do this, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and take out shots at the one team that I really dislike. We will have that Wisconsin Badger hockey games, 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday, right here at WFHR. These games are in Madison, by the way. You get a chance to catch a Badger hockey game in Madison at the Kohl Center. You got to. Women's, men's, doesn't matter. Exhibition, get there. God, I love college hockey. It's a lot of fun. Got to go to a game at the Kohl Center ages ago, and it was awesome. But I also bring this up because there may be a familiar voice that you hear or see, so feeling your face that you see down there, even though he's got a beard now, and I haven't seen him with a beard in a long time. I just want to send a shout out to Bob Look. It was fun to hear him on the radio last week, and certainly appreciate him joining us. It was fun. That was a good one. Taking a look at Saturday, we got, again, River Kings on WIRI at 7, right here at WFHR at 7, Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Notre Dame. But Saturday morning at 10 a.m., Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Oregon. So for one, that means that we will not have a morning show best of. But Wisconsin Badgers, right back at it. Right back at it. Getting right back into the swing of things. Couple of big games this week, and Big Ten matchup games, by the way. We'll talk about it on Monday's Playmakers, and on Monday we'll lead you into the Greg Gard Show. We'll be your tailgate for the Greg Gard Show. It'll be at 6:05. Be a good one. 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. Love to hear from you, everybody. As long as we got the time, there's been a couple of things going out and about as far as the Green Bay Packers. I'll touch on a little bit of football here. One of the big things that's going around is the idea of bringing in a star defensive player. A defensive player that is a difference maker. A playmaker, if you will. Oh, that was bad. Oh, that was bad. I'm so sorry. Again, you let me keep talking. I'm going to do these things. Your Myles Garrett's, your Max Crosby's, these are the kind of guys that are being looked at. There's not many of them. They are highly coveted. And both of them have been either completely on the trade block or on the trade. They're not on the trade block, wink, wink. And they're going to demand something. You're going to give a pound of flesh for this. So keeping that in mind. And I asked this question, and I know that the first thing every one of us respond with is, including myself, is, well, as long as the price isn't too high, it's probably going to be in the Myles Garrett or the Raiders situation. I will say both of these teams, Cleveland and the Los Angeles, Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders, have a history of, kind of being duped, for lack of a better way to put it. So maybe you can get a good deal. But even they're not foolish enough to give these guys out up without a first-round pick involved. And I think that first-round picks are valuable when you're building. They're indescribable when you're building. But if you're a team that's in the market for one of these guys, you're built, or you should be. And what you're missing is one or two key pieces. If I am Green Bay and they're asking for two first-round picks, it depends on what else they want. But for Max Crosby, I'm thinking about it. I'm especially thinking about it when you consider how hot the seat is for Matt LaFleur. And it's only going to get hotter with every loss next season, whether they would lose one game or lose 10. And what I didn't expect, but what I've been hearing in the last couple of weeks about it possibly being a little hot for Gutekunst. I found that a little surprising. There's certainly been noted, you know, a couple of key free agents he brought in, how he's hit in the low end of the draft. But I hear a lot of people complaining, and honestly, rightfully so, about the early round picks and some of the scouting and some of the other free agent signings. And not so much free agent signings, sorry, some of the signing of players. The Jair Alexander one, it stands out. That's an albatross. That's an albatross with a guy. Does anybody want to take a bet with me of Jair Alexander playing, what, 13 games next year? Anybody? Anybody want to take that bet? Anybody believe that he's going to play at least 13 games next season? It wasn't a smart move at the time. I don't know many people that... I'm sure there are going to be people out there that are fans of his or people out there that know more than I do that can tell you this and that and how he was at that time. I'm watching the game. That's all I'm going on. I'm going on that. I'm going on his attitude. I feel the same way I did about him that I did about Devin Williams. I don't know these guys. I'm not talking about them as people, as human beings. I have no idea. I could get along with them great as people. But as players, the knuckleheadedness, you got to be, and for me, if I'm a coach, if I'm a GM, there is no level of talent you can be for me to not, to put up with so much knucklehead behavior. Everybody gets a mulligan. Everybody gets at least, you know, depending on how bad it is, everybody gets to mess up and bounce back. I'm as American as anybody else. I love a good comeback story. But the two gentlemen that I'm talking about here, one who is playing in New York now, and the other who I think is going to maybe be playing in New York as well at some point, but I don't believe that he'll be playing with the Packers. These are guys that showed you who they were in college or showed you who they were early on in their careers. If you are frustrated, if you are angry, and you make your livelihood with your hands, and you decide to punch something, that isn't a smart move. That's selfish. And selfish behavior does not lead to winning very often. If ever. Especially in team sports. You're showing me a lot there. Are you a young man? Do you deserve a mulligan? Absolutely. Yeah. But when you do it again, or you do something very similar, or especially the way you handle yourself in the offseason. When your team is down by two touchdowns, and you make a stop on third down, and you're doing your swashbuckler move, like, get out of here, man. Nah. Say what you will about the Chiefs. They were down and out in that game, and knew it. And they scored a couple touchdowns, and had a couple of big plays. And what did they do at the end of them? Nothing. Handed the ball to the ref, went to the sideline. I think Xavier Worthy may have did a little bit of showboating, but for the most part, they were just trying to get through that game. And, you know, it's not great. I'm sure, you know, it sucks as a player, but that's the game, man. You can't talk unless you can back it up, and I don't think you should talk at all if your team is down. Getting out from under the Jair Alexander contract is one of the bigger things that the decisions that the Green Bay Packers have to make. We'll talk about a couple of other ones, maybe some baseball, and plenty more. Got about 9-10 minutes left to play, Makers. We'll come back with that right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR. Hope y'all are having a great night. Let's finish strong, everybody. We'll take it right to the top of the hour. Call up 715-424-2600. Join the conversation. Looking forward to hanging out with you the last couple of minutes we got left to show. Big thank you to Quality Post Printing, Family Netro Foods, giving us a chance to hang out, talk some sports. We're getting into a little bit of Green Bay talk and the Packers offseason and the big question marks that they have. And we have already, and we will endlessly talk about certain things like bringing in a key player on defense, maybe a wide receiver or something on the offensive end. But there's a couple of other big questions going on for Green Bay. I mentioned the Jair Alexander thing, and that's certainly a big one. What to do with the two-time Pro Bowler, who will make $17.5 million if he's on the team next season. The Brandon McManus situation is another big one. I don't have to explain to anybody out there the struggles that Green Bay had with the kicking game for a while there. And Mr. McManus comes to town, and that kind of went away, for the most part. They got to figure out if they're going to re-sign him or not, and I'm not sure if he wants to re-sign. So there's that. And if he doesn't re-sign, how you address that situation, because that's a big problem. You need a good kicker. You need a good kicker. I don't know where it ranks in building a championship team and what number that is on the ranking. But I'll say that if you are playing for a Super Bowl, you're going to be playing in close games. And that means you need a solid kicker with ice water in his veins. I'm not sure if that's Brandon McManus or not. We've seen him play pretty well in big situations, and we've also seen him miss kicks, like pretty much every single kicker in the NFL. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with that situation, especially with, again, I don't think Matt LaFleur is a bad coach. I don't agree with some of his style, but I don't think he's a bad coach by any means. And he's certainly smart enough to realize what I'm saying, that they got games that come down to the wire. And, that 3 points can make all the difference. Eric Stokes also is a big kind of thing to be looking at. I kind of focus on Jair Alexander a bit, but Eric Stokes on the other side is also could be looking to work somewhere else. He hasn't returned to the form he had in that rookie season, and the injuries have been piling up. So that'll be interesting. Got some tackle situations too, and certainly the running back situation. It's not clear whether A.J. Dillon will be back in the NFL even, let alone with the Green Bay Packers. I do think that there are some other interesting things as far as, re-signing some players or making some moves. And all these teams will do that. But nobody with the pressure, I think, that Green Bay has in some ways. And I don't mean just the idea of the Coach LaFleur or Gutekunst being on the hot seat or anything like that. But the pressure of being the smallest market team in all of sports, and the pressure to stay relevant, the pressure to keep winning, because I don't think that there is any scenario or any, string theory, alternate universe where this does happen. But if you're smart at business, you worry about things that may never happen. And at this point in time where the game is only getting more and more money, I'll say this. If the NFL was going on right now and Green Bay wanted to get, they didn't have a team and they were trying to get an expansion team, what do you think the likeliness of that is? Of a city the size of Green Bay getting an NFL franchise? Pretty much not going to happen, right? You're looking at Milwaukee, Madison. It's not going to be there. So what you have there is something that you will never see in sports again. Never. And you covet it, and if you love football, I think you do. I'm saying that as the team that I root for and everything, and I love it. I love that team, and I love what they stand for and all that, because I love football. But that pressure is something that I don't think we talk about a lot, and I don't think a lot of people understand if you don't live in the Midwest or if you don't understand business. Because the NFL, part of the I think it's awesome. I'm trying to get Mike Clemens to let me in a suitcase so I can go cover the NFL draft. I've watched the NFL draft my whole life. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And it's in state. It's a couple hours away. I want to get there. I think it's awesome. I also see it for what it is. The NFL is going to try to get their money out of the Green Bay Packers any way they can. Yeah, this is a great thing. The draft is moving around and all that. Look where it's moving. Look at most of the cities it's going. Yeah, it's going to Chicago. It's going to some bigger cities. It's also going to a lot of smaller markets. trying to get money out of those markets. And that's business. I'm not taking a shot at that. That's business. But it'll be interesting to see how this goes. And certainly, I think the draft is going to be well attended. I don't think it's the last time the draft will be in Green Bay. It'll be definitely interesting to see what happens there with the Packers in the offseason. And I am all focused, I'll be honest with you, on USA and Canada. Everything I have said in this whole show, my front part of my brain is doing that. In the back of my brain, all I'm seeing is the Kachucks beating up on a Canadian. I'm not. I'm excited about it. Have yourselves a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back on Wednesday with more Playmakers.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.